podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to episode 104 of the We'll Talk About That Later podcast about football. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe or follow on whatever platform you happen to be on, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, whatever. Just follow us and follow us on social media. Instagram, Twitter, WTATL official, and TikTok, that's WTA.podcast. How you guys doing?
I was about to steal woo woo.
Oh, give us
go on, done, do then.
Woo woo.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
I'll be quiet.
How's everyone?
I'm good.
Before we start, I've got a bone to pick with someone.
Oh, cool. So, first of all, I know this is at me because
I'm not saying too much, but their name rhymes with Park. So, obviously, just before we started, we were all talking about Squid Game, innit? So, last week, it was me who said in the group, you already watched it, Junior.
Yeah.
But I said it to both of these people.
Wait,
I said
are
it to
you going
to
spoil
train.
It for the listeners?
No, listen.
No spoilers.
Listen. So, I said, watch Squid Game to Mark, and I said to Tanya on the train, and she was watching the trailer. So, a couple podcasts ago, I asked Mark. No, he told us about a film called Official Secrets on Netflix. I watched it, banging recommendation, sick film. So this week I come to him, I was like, Mark, do you have any, Mark, do you have any recommendation for a film I could watch, something like that. He recommended me two films I've already seen. These times I've already recommended him Squid Game, yeah? And he's enjoyed it, he loves it, so I brought joy to his life. Yet, where Mark, I asked him to give me a recommendation and he's given me two films that I've already watched. And then he didn't respond after like for a long time. And then he gave
Maybe
me two.
He's busy.
Yeah. So, but all I'm just saying, yeah, is I call him the Ben White of the podcast. Yeah. I've changed it now. He's now the Ali from Squid Game of the podcast.
Oh my God. If you watch Squid Game, that's actually a par. But it is 1-1. Because I gave you
Official Secrets.
You gave me Squid Game.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, I gave so you like a nine, like that's 9 hours worth of content I gave you. You gave me one hour and a half film. Yeah.
What were the two films you recommended that you've already watched?
City of God. I've watched that in school.
Everyone goes wait.
Is that on Netflix?
No. You just said you might not be on Netflix. Oh. It was just a film recommendation.
Oh, okay.
And the other one was City of God is a banging Lahane, film. And I watched it years ago. So it's just like
City of God is a banging film.
City
of God
is a banging film.
So is Lahane as well. Old school French movie. Okay. I'd get on that if I were
well,
you.
Well, Mark's giving me recommendations, so.
Exactly.
I wouldn't watch those ones. I don't watch those dubbed.
You know what?
No, I watched the Brazilian one in Brazilian, yeah. Portuguese.
Brazilian. All right, do you want to talk about football?
Yeah.
I mean, you started.
Sorry.
Are you saying you finished drawing me out?
I'm sorry.
Cool.
I just need to get it out, you know. I've been holding that in for a couple of days.
When are you going to just leave Mark alone?
No, Abdi messaged me. He's like, bro, I watched them in sixth form, man. So what do you want me to do?
Like? Why does everyone give Abdi that voice?
I don't know.
Why do I sound like a punk to all of you? That's so rude.
All right. So without further ado, our spotlight game is none other than Liverpool versus Man City at Anfield.
Boring game.
Trust me, put me to sleep.
I think, is it the first time we've been Liverpool in spotlight game this season?
Yeah.
Or it might have been Chelsea.
Oh, no,
I'm not
Chelsea
sure.
Chelsea Liverpool.
Yeah, but let's get straight into it then. I think we'll leave most of the chat for the second half. I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. But the first half was, other than the first 5 minutes, was all City. Mm-hmm. The one positive I can take from that first half is that we got into half time at 0-0. Because conceding just before half time would have been an absolute killer, and it would have meant City could have just sat back a bit deeper in the second half, as they did in the first 10 minutes of the game. I think Pep's learnt his lesson with Anfield now, and this first 10 minutes, don't take any risks, sit back kind of 10 yards deeper than we usually do, and just soak up the pressure. When we've got the ball, use it wisely. And you could see that for the first 15 minutes, and then City just came out and, I'm not afraid to say it, they dominated us in that first half. It was a really good performance from City in that first half. And then we go on to the second half, which I think is arguably the best 45 minutes of football we've seen this season. But the bigger statement is it could be the best 45 minutes of football we see all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a long time, actually. You know, that was just end-to-end chances, quality football from both sides. And obviously, like, some individual performances are probably, like, some of the best we've seen around. I think three definitely, Salah, Bernardo Silva and Foden were the stars, I thought, of the show.
You could just tell it was two teams that didn't want to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah.
But also two teams that could win at any moment.
Yeah, you're right. I think City will be... I mean, if you look back on the game as a whole, City probably slightly more disappointed than we would be to go home with a point.
Mm. Although you'd probably be a little bit disappointed being 2-1 up with 10 minutes to go.
Absolutely.
And 1-0 up as well.
And 1-0 up. And we'll get onto the goals, but the annoying thing about the equaliser is that Alisson's probably saving that quite comfortably if it doesn't take the deflection off Matip.
But, you know, in that situation, like, Matip's probably thinking, I better just block it or get something on it.
Yeah, and Matip, I mean, there's no harsh words to say on Matip there. He was doing his job as a defender, trying to keep the ball out of the net. It didn't go his way that time. Goes his way a lot of other times.
You say Man City would be disappointed that they weren't ahead before half time, but like, if you think about it, they didn't have... It wasn't many clear cut chances apart from the one where Bernardo...
It was total domination. Like,
it was, yeah, definitely in terms of like sustaining the pressure and everything like that. But in terms of clear cut chances, apart from the one where Bernardo played it, where he went on that mazy run and he played it through for Foden, and it went.
I'd maybe argue the KDB header was a really good chance.
Should have done better.
Inject his stinker into my vein.
I knew you was going to say this.
No, but what was I going to say? I think City, in that first half, more than maybe the second half, but definitely the first half, missed number nine.
It's an issue
they need to resolve.
I don't like Jack Grealish in that false nine.
Yeah,
I
weird.
Didn't think it worked.
Like throughout that game, there were three different people who played false nine in that first half. Like, KDB played false nine. Then Foden played false nine. Well, Foden started out playing false nine, and then Grealish played the rest of the time he was on the pitch. But like you said, I hate it. I don't like it at all, because if you think about it, yeah, Jesus, obviously, he's much better in this right wing role. But what Liverpool needed, because Liverpool's midfield, like, Mark, you'd even admit, they were getting moved about easily. And then what they needed to do was they needed someone to occupy the centre-backs. Because every time Foden got wide, Man City, they like to go out wide quite a lot, like Cancelo and Foden, and sometimes on the other side as well with Jesus as well. But they needed someone to occupy Matip and Van Dijk, who really, like, they weren't really under much pressure. The only really time in the first half where there was sort of any danger in behind the centre-back was when Bernardo played that ball in behind Van Dijk.
Yeah, so, wow.
I think it's crazy that Bernardo was... essentially given a free ticket to leave City this summer. I really think it's crazy when you consider the performance he put in on Sunday and just generally what a player he is.
He was fantastic.
Well, you said it last week, Mark. Considering he wanted to leave, look at the performances he's putting in. Like, he's still playing for the shirt. He's still giving effort.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think
Harry Kane got a hat-trick against Slovenia's best, didn't it?
I have a question for you guys just before we move on to the goals and stuff. Someone on Match of the Day, I think it was Alan Shearer, someone on Match of the Day said a world-class striker is getting 40 plus goals in that City team.
Yeah,
but a normal striker will get 20 plus goals in that. And so that Man City should...
talking extremes, bro.
So, no, but what he's saying is, essentially what he's saying is that Man City should sign any striker to just be able to fill that gap. Because, for example, what we're talking about, a lot of the times there was a fat gap from Foden to the other side, which might have been Bernardo or KDB. And there was no one in the middle coming short, or like what Harry Kane does for Tottenham, where he comes short, holds up the ball, or even Lukaku for one of the goals against Southampton. Like, comes short, holds up the ball, plays other people in, then darts into the box and he's there for the chance. That's what Alan Shearer is saying, that Man City just need anyone.
But is football that simple?
And exactly. And also, if it was just anyone, then they would have just played Jesus there. Because he is a striker. Yeah. So he isn't just anyone.
And to be honest, that's probably the worst game I've seen Jesus have on that right wing.
He did well for the goal.
I was about to say, that's a good assist.
That's the one time he got him. He was in centrally. And then he started out wide. Yeah, but still, I mean, that's the only time. He beat someone, I think. I can't remember who it was. I think Fabinho.
But okay, let's talk about the goals. So I think Salah... heavy hand in both goals, especially the second one, obviously. But the first goal was probably the first time we see Salah actually break free from...
He done up Cancelo for that goal.
Yeah.
Done it.
Cancelo slid off the pitch.
And then fantastic ball for Mane.
Great ball. That's exactly the type of run we needed from Mane, the run that kind of comes in from behind the two centre-backs.
Out to win.
creates the space almost, and without saying it to Salah, it's literally, look, if you put the ball here, mm-hmm. I'm onto it. And credit to Mane, he's finished that expertly well.
And if he finishes like that, sometimes I think Mane should play centrally.
You lose a lot. You lose so much of his game if you play him centrally. I hear what you're saying, but so much better suited to the wing for
them. Well, like him and Jota can interchange. They play.
They always do.
But in that case, should we say that Mane should maybe make those kinds of runs more often?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard in the first half because they just didn't have the ball.
Because, like you said, like his finishing is brilliant. Like.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about someone who's particularly lacking in goals this season. Mane started the season well, actually. Mm.
Liverpool's front three have got 13 goals in 7 games.
Mm. Mad. Mm-hmm. Before City, we scored 3 goals 6 games in a row in all comps. So we're talking like League Cup against Norwich as well, and the Champions League against Milan, Porto, and then a couple of league games in there as well. So in terms of goals, we're really not lacking this season. But Abdi, you mentioned it. Am I making this up? You mentioned it about 5 minutes ago about our midfield kind of just, particularly in that first half, just not really being existent, to be honest.
What Henderson had a poor.
Henderson had a poor game.
That's the worst I've seen Fabinho play.
Yeah, I was just about to say, these players, it's essentially the same 11 played 3 times in 6 days. And I thought I would have seen maybe a little bit more rotation, particularly for that game against Porto in the middle of the games. Because Fabinho, I think in the last 5 minutes, was finished, dead on his feet. Like he just had no more to give.
A lot of the players were. I thought KDB literally couldn't move at all for the last...
I'm not surprised at the level they're playing at.
The intensity of that game, I don't really blame him for that. But I mean, just generally, like,
he wasn't. When you look at that then, from a neutral's perspective, and obviously we'll move back onto the rest of the game, what do you think when you see two teams playing football?
They're good.
Like that? No, but like, does it make you think these are the two, and actually maybe we've overestimated Chelsea a bit? Or
I think we have, personally.
Well, I was just going to say, I think all of us here, I don't know, maybe Tanya not. But
when we did our predictions. Yeah, I said Liverpool second.
We put Man City and Liverpool.
No, I said Chelsea.
Oh, second. So then it's all of us by Abdi said that Liverpool and City were
on brand, innit?
No, they're two of the most exciting teams to watch. And at the minute, the thing is you should say Chelsea really because they're top of the league. But I'm not gonna lie, obviously there's more to football than just fancy football, but I don't enjoy watching Chelsea.
No, of course I don't enjoy watching them.
The key here is that I think a lot of people forgot how much Liverpool are good.
Mm. Yeah,
when without all of their pieces, you know, like last season, they had no centre backs, and a lot of people forget how good Liverpool
are. Yeah, they've got one of the best starting.
So when you see that Man City versus Liverpool, you're just like, wow, these two are actually like.
I said it a couple years ago. I think this is the Premier League's El Clasico.
For the past 5 years, it absolutely has been.
And the quality of games as well. Like we saw a couple years ago where there was the 4-3. They've always had great games. The 3-2, the one where Coutinho scored.
The Champions League knockout games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those were crazy games as well. I just feel like Liverpool, like the first half is the first time this season that Liverpool haven't impressed me. So Liverpool have probably been the most impressive in terms of the way they play football. And then obviously Man City as well came. And Man City did this to Chelsea last week. Like, and the point about striker is really important because even against PSG midweek, Man City were by far the better team. This is going to cost you as well because they could have beaten Chelsea by more. They should have beaten PSG.
Yeah.
And they could have like been out of sight against Man City. So
against Liverpool.
Well, against Liverpool, sorry, yeah. So, but I think, like you said, this game is probably the most exciting. And just watching it as well, like you said, what do we think on the outside? I think this is light years ahead of where we want to be. You know, you could say the same as all times as well.
I think I think many teams, to be honest. I think the closest team is Chelsea.
Yeah, I think those three are clear.
Even then, I think Chelsea is still a little bit off.
Yeah, I think Chelsea are off. When I watched that, I looked at that and I thought Chelsea and Man United are probably watching this thinking we're a little bit.
I think particularly Man United.
I think Tuchel gives Chelsea a lot in terms of his tactical ability and awareness.
Yeah, but Chelsea got a lot of depth, though, no?
True, but what I'm saying is like, in terms of like, when you go to Anfield, we saw like a few weeks ago, they were down to 10 men. Literally, not many managers can maybe pull off what Tuchel did in terms of like stifling Liverpool and limiting the chances.
But you've got to give credit to the players in that instance as well. No, absolutely. I know he made the sub. I think he brought on Thiago Silva at half-time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the players, but I mean, not many coaches in the Premier League are kind of like that tactically, have that tactical nous that he has.
Yeah,
in
I get that. But is there a, we're going on a bit of a tangent here, but is there a case to say that, you know, if a manager in the bottom 10 went down to 10 men, brought on a centre back at half time and just told his team to sit deep, we'd say that was boring and negative?
Yeah, no.
Are we kind of praising him because of?
I was just trying to show a different perspective, because I think Chelsea are just a bit off from Man City and Liverpool in terms of like that first 11 quality and stuff. And I just think Tuchel adds a bit more because the Chelsea of last season, you know, when Lampard was there. And it's the same players. Obviously, Lampard probably isn't the manager you'd want leading that Chelsea team. But it just look at the stark difference between Lampard's Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea. They
it's
go on to
new,
win the Champions
new
League.
Team as well. I still feel like players haven't shown their true potential yet. Like Havertz, Ziyech hasn't been that great. I don't know.
Mm. Before this week, well, the past three games, I would have said Chelsea are the hardest team to break down. Just generally, they're really hard to play against.
But even Southampton got at them.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean,
but we digress.
We
a
are
lot.
Digressing. I'm talking about the
okay,
goals.
Okay, back to the game. So then, Liverpool
talk about
Liverpool
the guy,
took the lead, go on. And then Man City equalised shortly after.
Mm-hmm. Good finish, man.
Fantastic finish.
Great finish. I said it before the game. That whole City 11, I picked out Foden because he worries me every time he steps onto the pitch.
I mean, against Milner as well, I guess that would have been added.
Ugly. And I think his credit—he
made Milner look like that old man from Squid Game.
I think it's great. You got to remember, Milner's almost 37. So.
Phil, please. Oh my god!
But I think it's credit to Phil Foden that when you look at that City attack, actually, he was the standout player by far. Yeah. And this is with, you know, Jack Grealish, who cost £100 million, Jesus, who cost 50 odd million, De Bruyne, who cost however much, and Foden was the standout player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible
from the academy, wasn't it?
And
from
the academy. I think it's nice seeing a left-footed player be so comfortable playing on the left. Where
see,
nowadays,
just limit, to me, it's just limiting him, man.
What do you mean?
He could do so much as well. Like, I think he's more. He's shown in this game. He's more of a attacking, like, goal threat when he plays out on the left wing. Mm-hmm. But you're using him like bloody Stuart Downing, bro. Like, I feel like with a guy like that, he's so creative. I would either put him as the 10 or out on the wide right.
No, see, I don't know. I get it, because cutting inside, it's a different option. But I was just about to say, I think it's really rare to see a player, especially nowadays at top club, who is left-footed and plays on the left, or right-footed and play on the right. And
to be honest, I think when I watch Foden on the left, that's when I'm most impressed with him.
Yeah,
to be brutally honest, that's where I feel he has his best games of football. And City don't really play with a 10. They play with, you know, Rodri and whoever it was. And KDB kind of just roams, like, sits in as an 8 almost and gets forward when he can.
Yeah, they play with a sitter and 2 8s. But I think Foden could play one of those 8s. He's that good.
Then you've got to take out Bernardo or KDB.
Is that a difficult choice for me?
Stop it.
Who stunk it out? And people thought he played well because his shot deflected off Matip.
That was a good, actually, yeah.
No, he was stinking. He was disgusting.
It doesn't matter. You need to take the shot.
But it was still
a goal. All right, so let's not waste any more time. Let's talk about the guy who's probably the best player in the world.
Right,
we
need to call him Sensational Salah.
It's unbelievable. Sensational Salah, I like that a lot.
Sensational.
Every time, there's alliteration. Honestly, like, you know, Mark, you know, I rate him so highly. Like, when he won the league, he was the one I mentioned the most. But there's like an element of his game where I feel like he's gone up a level this season. Every time he got that ball in the second half, Man City was shitting. Sorry, Man City were.
You can swear.
Yeah, I guess so. Man City was shitting themselves. And he was just like, he was a complete like menace to them the whole time, every time he got the ball. And then obviously now we're seeing, people used to call him a greedy player.
He's actually not.
The amount of chances he's creating, even that chance where Fabinho missed right at the end with Rodri's tackle, that was him who put the ball in. Mm-hmm. He's got creating chances, he's scoring. The guy's incredible.
I think we have to credit Mark, because Mark said ages ago when we first started this podcast that the misconception about Salah is that he's a greedy player, but he's actually one of the most selfless players.
He really is. I think if you look back in the past five seasons, he's in the top five or six in the league for assists.
Yeah, he's got
and
the
he's
most
first
goal,
for goals.
Goal.
Well, I said it last week, he's the best player in the Premier League, but I actually think in world football right now.
Yeah, right now, I don't see anyone.
People are saying. Unbelievable.
The only players people are comparing him to, he's playing at that level is Benzema as well. Yeah. So, but I think Salah is just, he's in.
At this moment, I think he's better than Benzema, just in terms of like.
Oh, yeah.
Output and the quality is pretty. Like that goal for me is probably one of the greatest Premier League goals
I've ever seen. Incredible,
yeah,
unbelievable. Just the way he just eased past Cancelo, Bernardo Silva,
the ball roll at the end.
I know the ball roll was disgusting, and then even just the
finish as well.
Because notoriously, you'd expect Salah as he kind of cut in the last second, you'd expect him to bang that with his left.
He's
done that so many times. Roma, Everton, where he bangs it with his left from that type of angle and it finds the far top corner. But, you know, he even spun me at the time. Like, and I wasn't even on the pitch.
But he sent Laporte, like, it was...
Yeah, Mark moved around like that in his bedroom, in his house. He's like, whoa! No, but I feel like Salah, he's got that... Do you remember that goal he scored against Tottenham once?
It's very similar to this one.
You think he's run out of space and then he just manages to get a goal from where he's not the favourite at all. The guy is incredible and he's moving Ballon d'Or levels in that conversation now at the moment.
No, I want to ask though about his contract situation. What do you think he's going to sign a new...
Sorry.
I thought that was me. I was like, who's calling me? Do you think he will sign a new contract? Because what is the situation?
The situation is essentially that we've got a pay structure and it seems like it's there to stay. So I think Verge is our highest earner on 220k a week or something. Gosh. And when you compare that to City, you've probably got four or five men of 300k a week plus. And I think it's actually fair for Salah to say, look, I'm in a certain, I'm in the highest level of player in the world. I deserve to be paid for that. He's still got 2 years left on his deal and he definitely wants to sign. It's just a case of how are we going to come to some sort of agreement where we probably will have to break our pay structure.
You absolutely must.
But there's got to be a case of, I don't think we can do it by too much because it sets a precedent then.
Yeah, of course.
When we want to start bringing players in of a certain calibre, they're going to say, well...
This is kind of a one-off though, because he is...
Yeah, I think he has to
be a one-off. And he's 29, but he's just getting better and better and better and better and better. And the way he treats himself and, you know, his body, he's never touched a drop of alcohol in his life. He eats well. He just takes care of himself. I can see him going on to like Ronaldo levels where he's like 36 and still really out here grabbing goals.
Is the 500k a week true?
No. Where have you got that from?
Yeah, I have heard that figure though. That's why I'm asking.
You definitely read Daily Mail gossip.
No, no.
So what is it roughly probably like?
I'd say he wants about 300.
So what's he on now?
Bin off some of the crap you have in the team, bro. Get rid of like them.
Well, this is Milner's last season. His contract runs out. He's on about 100.
Surely Ox at some point is going to leave.
Yeah, but you've got to replace. But you got to think.
I just thought of him.
You got to think our squad.
Showing you right now
is really
500k, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I need you to quote where that article's come from.
It says Daily Mail.
No, it's come from AS in Spain.
I mean, that's
cool. So we just trust random Spanish.
All right, cool. Okay, cool.
That's the Daily Mail of Spain.
I'll ignore the newspaper and I'll listen to Mark.
No, it's not fine.
That's the Daily Mail of Spain, bruv.
Fair enough. All right, cool. I just saw.
No, I think you'll come to an agreement. He loves Liverpool.
Of course. Yeah. Michael Richards has said it on Sky Sports numerous times that when they were at Fiorentina together, Salah used to say to him, Liverpool is where I want to go and that's where I want to spend my time playing football. And then obviously it happened, probably gone better than he expected.
Yeah.
And I think we need to tie him down and we need to keep him at Liverpool for the rest of his career.
And I think he's a Liverpool legend. Like,
I was just going to ask that because a lot of people are saying, like, obviously, a lot of Liverpool fans consider Gerrard to be the best ever.
Yeah, it is Liverpool. Gerrard. Yeah.
Do you think Salah could get there?
Gerrard is mine. So, I mean...
Gerrard played for Liverpool for 20 years, bro.
I know, obviously, yeah.
But Salah's Salah's now our 10th top goal scorer of all time.
That's crazy.
Just entered the top 10, so he's 10th.
In what, like, that's 4 or 5
years?
He's got 100
season.
Goals
crazy,
in 100. Yeah, 151 games, that's nuts.
How many goals does he have to reach to be, like, top goal?
It's pretty much
the guy who passed away recently.
100,
isn't
it?
But where was it? Oh, there it is.
Ian Rush as well has ridiculous numbers.
Oh, okay.
Since 2017, in the Premier League, this is mad, so it's 4 years, but about 3.5 seasons. He's got 101 goals, 36 assists.
Yeah, he's got the most goal involvements. That's mad. That
137 nice. Goal involvements, which is just, you can't replace that. So we've got to get him signed up. Yeah, ASAP. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, right, back up, back right. on the game.
All right, just quickly. Okay. Salah, in terms of wingers, I was talking to my friend and I was like, the best three wingers I've ever seen in the Premier League, I'm going to put him in there, is Ronaldo, Eden Hazard, and Salah. Where do you put him? Do you put him second or third?
I'm seeing a lot of Eden Hazard versus Salah debates.
I don't know. I mean, why not first?
Ooh. Yeah,
because
that's
you're
fair,
judging, I mean, Ronaldo off of what? Three, four?
That's the thing. He wasn't in the league. Fair, that's fair. Long,
but Ronaldo was back to back player.
If we're talking strictly Premier League, you can't.
Junior disagrees?
No.
I'm saying if you're talking Premier League, you can't use what Ronaldo did in the La Liga.
No, I'm not using that.
Yeah. That's
not.
Yeah,
so if
right.
we're judging
I just
solely
think
on Ronaldo
was back-to-back player of the year Ballon d'Or when he was here. So,
and but yeah. Mo Salah was player of the year. Probably could have won it back-to-back. Shagged off. I scream this all the time. Modric shouldn't have won that Ballon d'Or. Salah should have won it.
Messi, but okay.
So yeah, but if we're he wasn't even in the running, or he come third or something.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we should be getting back to the game because there was one goal after Salah's madness, which was KDB told Abdi come outside. No, I'm joking. It was great play by Foden. He intended to pass to Walker, but it got blocked, and then obviously KDB came onto it first time.
Alisson would have caught that with one hand if he didn't get
one decision. Hand.
Mm-hmm. But all right, cool. Good question. I have a question for you guys. Should Milner have been sent off?
Yes.
Yeah, even I can say that. Cool. You 100%.
Should Milner have been sent off in the first half?
No, that wasn't a red.
No.
That wasn't
no,
even
no,
a
no, red. Not a red card. Because
wasn't there? Oh, he got.
If the ref gives a foul outside the box, is it yellow? Then he would have had two yellows in the first half.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I think that was definitely a foul. I think the first contact was outside the box.
It wasn't
a yellow because I just think it was more of a legs just coming together.
Okay. So could it be viewed as a trip?
I mean, you'd have to get it up and show me again. I can't remember exactly. But
the Bernardo one is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was
Bernardo fell on his head, man. He could have broken his neck.
Like what? I don't even know what.
What are you looking at? No, yeah, I think the only thing, excuse? Yeah, the only thing
what
when I tried to think
it was
about,
Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, I thought he thought there was Henderson who fouled.
No, well, the commentator thought it. I think Gary Neville thought. I think it was Gary Neville or Martin Tyler. One of the two. They thought it was Henderson at first.
It may be because Milner's running that way and then he sticks his leg out, which makes it look like Jordan Henderson did it.
Oh, Bernardo, he could have broken his leg. Broken his neck, man. He fell on his head.
I know it was.
Yeah,
it was funny that we literally got Milner off after that.
To be fair, it would have ruined a beautiful game.
That's the first thing I thought of. Like, you don't want to send him off because it was just so breathtaking at the time that to see both teams go head to head and just.
I bet your heart was in your mouth there towards the end because I think City were getting a lot of. Were they getting corners?
My heart rate was at an unhealthy
Liverpool,
level.
Liverpool almost won it. Rodri saved it.
What
on the line.
Was it a bad miss? Was it a bad miss?
No. I'm going to be I'm going to be really honest. That was all Rodri.
Yeah.
Credit to Rodri because
how he got back.
Fabinho had to take a touch. Yeah. He couldn't have hit that first time. I don't think on his left foot. He was cramping up. I think he had to take that touch. Probably without knowing that Rodri was going to turn into Superman.
Honestly, that's what it was.
Yeah,
and then Rodri was there, and credit to Rodri because he saved
tackle.
City a point with that challenge.
Beautiful,
quite
tackle,
literally,
honestly. And
perfectly timed everything.
Mm. I don't know why Guardiola doesn't play Sterling as a false nine because when Sterling came on, he was making some runs in behind.
Yeah,
that's your goal.
My Sterling.
Sterling.
Greenish got taken off. Greenish.
I don't know.
But he played up top against PSG in the week.
I feel like Grealish.
It's
still,
not
going to
work out.
No, it's not that it's not going to work out. I think Grealish is still finding his feet. I don't think he's found it yet. I think he scored a couple of goals which will help him settle in, but I don't think he's found.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to work out. I do think it's the one area of the pitch that City didn't need to strengthen.
They just didn't need. It really is frustrating.
When you've got Mahrez, Sterling, Bernardo, Foden, so KDB, it's where you kind of need to take your focus away from. And I get they wanted to get him in and get the deal done, but priority should have been the number 9.
It must be hard to actually keep all of these players happy.
I think Sterling's going.
Sterling has to go at this point.
Yeah, I think it's...
Not in January because it's... It might hinder his chance of getting a proper move, but I think at the end of this season, he's really got to have a proper think about because he needs to be playing week in, week out.
Arsenal we can't offer him anything.
I think you could if you
can't offer him anything.
Sterling.
Yeah. I mean, if he's stupid enough.
Oh, we can offer him Sterling, but not
these man get a penny.
I can see it.
Rupee.
Your forward line, I think, is where you need to strengthen. Sterling would.
Wait,
be
we're
perfect.
Not talking about.
Yeah, we'll talk yeah, about. Anyway. We'll talk about that later.
Hey,
where's the round of applause?
What's the joke one? I want more of a laugh than that.
We'll give you this.
Hey. You hear something? That one.
We don't have that one. Anyway, you know why we're pressing all the buttons? Because these men have headphones for the first time, so they're a bit gassed. But let's move on to Man United, Everton. And
let's talk about this game, boy.
And just say, just quickly, brilliant performance from Man City and Liverpool. But yeah, Man United versus Everton. So I just want to address Mr. Abdi.
Oh yeah, who scored Man United's goal?
Junior in the mud for Mr. 4 goals a season.
Yeah, Martial.
You see how he changed it? Because in the group chat, he's like, Martial's got 3 goals a season.
Oh, wow, because I did one.
And Martial's got 4 goals last season.
Yeah, you did try to add a little one there.
Now, can
I, right, before we cover this game, I just want to read you this line because I think it's going to be important for context when we chat about the game and where United are at this season. So United actually haven't played Spurs, mm-hmm. Leicester, Liverpool, Chelsea or City yet.
They were after the international break.
Not they've not
you
played.
You started off with Spurs though.
Yeah.
I know.
Big man, wow. I didn't write this myself. Whoever wrote this is probably Spurs, but they haven't faced any of the big boys yet. And they've dropped points. I think it was Southampton a few weeks back or a month ago.
Villa last week,
Everton this week. So what happens when they play the big boys?
Well, we have to wait and see because Ole usually manages to win.
He's going
to
win this game.
In the top six teams or at least get a draw or whatever. You know, you were saying it as well, how pissed off you were last season that Man United play really rubbish and then they come against Liverpool and it's just like a whole different team.
Yeah, but we slapped them at Old Trafford with our 9th and 10th choice centre-back, so...
Say with your chest, bro. Come on.
9th and 10th, that's you, bro.
I know for a fact Ollie is getting through those games. Whenever this guy is in trouble, he comes back and that's what keeps him in a job. He is a cat with 900 lives.
I was so pissed off when Ronaldo tapped in against Villarreal, man. I've just turned this into a conversation
that is far away from the game.
We'll come back to Ole in a second. But okay, so Martial scores and Abdi gets a boner. But
I'd like to deny those.
Abdi was in the chat as Martial was striking the ball. Abdi was in the chat. Like the ball hadn't even gone in the back of the net yet.
I said Junior, because Junior has an agenda against Martial.
I do not have an agenda.
Did you rewatch that goal at home like countless times?
What? All of a sudden, I'm a Martial super fan. What? Just because I had a go at Junior?
Martial stand.
So I would just like to say that although Martial did score that, who got the assist, Abdi?
I don't remember.
Oh yeah, who did?
Who
get
got
the
assist? Number 18. Do you know who the number 18 is for Man United?
Whatever, man. He's still there.
Abdi, I've just read the second line of this. I want you. Can you just leave?
What did I say?
Great.
Are you really
Townsend.
Asking if? Forget great. Are you asking if Townsend should be in the England squad?
Listen.
Get up.
No,
not even, nope.
Right. You
get
hold
up.
On. Hold on. Hold on.
Stand up.
Hold
and
on.
And leave.
And this man don't like Bruno.
Hold on.
I get you scored a couple.
Hold on, bro.
Right,
Andros Townsend for England.
And you don't even like
That's
Bruno.
That's a big statement.
Or KDB.
Can you not leave so me and you can fight? Listen.
Oh, God. Me and Junior have to
What I'm saying, yeah, the whole point of playing well. When you're an English player, so you can get into the England squad, yeah? Yes or no?
I think you need more than a 1 month patch.
Isn't that the same for every national
team? Yeah, exactly. But I mean, Townsend has been one of the better players in the Premier League this season, yes or no? I'm not saying take him to the World Cup. I'm just saying.
No, he scored some good goals and played his role well. I don't know if he's been like a standout.
He has been.
If he hadn't scored the goal against
Burnley.
But whoever it was, and then the previous one, the absolute banger.
Yeah,
Burnley, and then the one just then against United. What would you have said is like what would get him in the England squad other than those goals?
I think he's got second most goal involvements of all English players in the Premier League this season. So there you go. Did you see where he just nodded his head like?
No, no one saw that.
It was a slight tilt of acknowledgement.
Our Undertaker choke slammed him, bro. That was a finisher.
So are you? You might have undertaken chokes, man, but
these are friends.
You're calling for Andros Townsend in the England squad.
I'm talking about.
Over who?
You got relaxed, man. No. Seriously,
you make statements. You need to back them up.
Over who?
Yeah.
All right, how many Liverpool players are in the English squad?
Oh, forget. No, answer is serious.
Now. Are you taking out Foden?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know who for, but I'm saying when you play well, your reward should be call up or at least be in the conversation. Yeah, yes or no?
Yeah.
So he's been playing very well and he's been playing better than guys like Mount this season. I'm not saying take him out and take him to the bloody, because obviously they've probably got a higher ceiling and he's 30 as well. But I'm just saying,
I'd rather Greenwood form, in there than Townsend.
Based on form. Everyone says pick on form, don't pick on reputation.
But yes, I think when it comes to
picked on reputation and not on form.
So come World Cup this summer. If Andrew Townsend's banging him in, you want him to be in that squad.
If he scores 20 goals, gets 20 assists. Yeah, obviously this is unrealistic. But would you say not? Don't take him. Yes or no?
Well, that's, you just said it's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic. Yeah, obviously it's unrealistic. But I'm just saying, if he did, it's not impossible. If he got 10
it's
goals...
It's impossible.
How did we get here? Can we go back to the game?
We got here really because Abdi's doing up stupidness on the agenda.
I'm just saying, respect for Andrew Townsend.
I couldn't even see that,
season,
you know.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm not disputing
but
that.
But I didn't just say Andrew
really
Townsend. I said Demarra Gray as well.
I think that's fair. That's why I left
that out. You said, should these two be in the England squad? Which is... He just said no.
It's a question mark for good form.
But there was no question mark here.
What's the question, though? What is that, a statement?
Well, there was no question mark.
I said should.
Do you know how sentences are constructed in English?
Oh, so racismo is what we're going for.
Here we go. Anyway.
Shout out to Everton, though. They play very well.
You need to redo your English.
Can you laugh off mic, man? This is a shambles of a podcast. But yeah,
Everton were on top before Man United scored, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, they were dominating.
They had a couple of chances. You know, apart from scoring goals, which is the prerequisite for a striker, Rondon does everything up to that really well.
Yeah, he does.
You know, only ballers should wear like low socks.
Do you not agree that he does everything up to scoring a goal really well, and then just you can't score.
That's great, but you can't score.
He's very, very, very strong.
He bullied Varane in some like duels. Yeah, I'm not saying he bullied him overall, but I'm saying like in some duels he had.
Corey is well balling out.
No, I thought Demarra Gray was the best player on the pitch. Though.
Yeah, no,
he really was. I can't lie, he continues to surprise me every week because I thought when Everton signed him in the summer, I thought, all right, this is almost it for Demarra Gray. Now, not in terms of age, but just in terms of.
I think it was his last chance.
Yeah, because it didn't happen for him at Leicester.
Although I did say that when he was at Leicester, I always said I don't get how Demarra Gray doesn't get more chances.
Yeah.
To be honest, Brendan Rodgers is usually a manager who trusts young players. So
he's not that young; he's like 24 now.
Yeah, but
when he was at Leicester, so what?
When was he at Leicester? 24 for the last 4 years.
You're having a howler.
Stop looking at me like that. Yeah, but Brendan Rodgers hasn't been there for a long time.
No, let's talk about it again.
Do you know what we should call out Abdi on the Instagram stories more often. He's come here shook.
I'm not shook of anyone. You think me? No. Me?
No, but back to the game. I think you've got to give Everton credit for going to Old Trafford and getting a result without their two main men up the other, like the top half of the field.
Oh, not Calvert-Lewin. Here we go.
No, they had injuries and I think they've been really well organised under Rafa Benitez. You can see they have an actual game plan. The players are playing well. Decore, Gray, as we've mentioned.
Alan is sick. Alan should be playing for Man United, man. I don't know why.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I forgot about that. You said it in the chat during the game, and I actually sat there and thought that's a really good shout.
Alan should be playing for Brazil. Like,
is he Brazilian?
Brother, they've got Casemiro and Fabinho and Fernandinho.
Oh, yeah.
Like, firstly,
three of them are better.
Casemiro plays and Fabinho doesn't, but we play with the three. And I think
Alan's more of a hold.
No, I get that he's more of a holding, but I think he's better than the rubbish that we... Fabinho sits on a bench for Lucas Paqueta and other players like that.
Good.
It doesn't make sense. Huh?
This is not about Brazil, by the way.
We're digressing again.
But anyway, my statement, I still believe it to be true.
I want to talk about McFred quickly.
Oh, God, yeah, honestly, yeah, cool.
What's wrong with Ole, man? Like, literally.
What is wrong with this guy? Like, I understand fully why United fans are just so frustrated with Ole. Like,
what is the point? Like, Fred is so.
Now, do you know who I'm frustrated with?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's just a vision of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
How he got bullied. Listen, as a CDM, you should be doing the bullying.
They don't have a CDM.
The way he got bullied, and I'm not like. I know that.
It happens.
Not like, but.
It happens.
What's my man's name?
Gray.
Gray is not a big man.
No,
like.
But it happens.
It happens. Of course it happens.
But it shouldn't happen like
how
that.
How many times have you been bullied by Mark? Uh-huh. You've embodied my mark on the pitch, innit?
We're usually playing on the same team.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
I mean, you're not having a good day.
People are calling them McDead now. It's got to that point.
Do you know
he needs to just choose one and switch it up?
If I'm going to play one, I'll play Matic.
Tanya said that she was disappointed. No, Man United fans are disappointed with blah, blah, blah. Do you know who I'm disappointed with watching that game? Davies. Why doesn't he shoot?
Oh, Tom Davies right at the end.
Why does he not shoot?
Because he's a dead baller, bro. No.
Even when he played that ball, he's like
offside.
3 yards in front of you. Bro, like, what's going through your mind?
I think anyone else would shoot.
And Yerry Mina's embarrassing.
He's an embarrassing.
Yeah, he's honestly embarrassing.
It's like VAR doesn't exist, bro. He just went and started busting the move and now he has to walk back with no goal. There's no goal anymore.
Do you know what? And I think he knew he was offside.
Yeah, he did. He looked back like three times, and he goes, you know what? I'm just going to bust him with that old trap.
But you see, he danced with no conviction.
Yeah, he did.
But you know what? He's going to pull that picture out in like 30 years and say to his kids, like, this is when I scored that old trap.
No, the video does. The video.
That's when we won 1-1.
You know, you guys, your dad had moves, isn't it? One of those ones.
Let me take it back to football. Oh. What do you think, where do you think United are at the moment? Not in terms of league table, but just in terms of them as a team.
I think they are a bit lost. I think obviously when you signed Sancho, Varane and Ronaldo, you're expecting the level to go up a bit. I think me and Mark had a quite extensive chat in the group chat about Ronaldo's role and what he brings to the United team. But I think if any manager is to get anything from Ronaldo and this Man United team, it's not Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Mm. And I think although Ronaldo might alter the way Man United plays, I just don't think Ole is the manager to get the best out of them.
Outside of the penalty box, Ronaldo is useless. I've been watching him.
That chance for Cavani, Ronaldo scores.
But he took off Cavani.
I'm saying the chance in the first half, the header. I think Ronaldo scores. But that's what I'm saying. Like me and Mark were talking about, Ronaldo was bought for goals and merchandise. That's what we agreed on. But I still don't think anyone, like, Ole's the man to make that team.
But how long have we been saying this? This is why I don't understand their owners, but I guess their owners, they're just happy with top four. And I think it's because, although there's not massive improvement, he has actually improved Man United season upon season, as in the finishes.
He's got the second most expensive squad in the world.
There's no excuses now.
Yeah, it'd be hard not to kind of at least finish, you know, in the top four. I don't think whether they finished second last season, but one of the most uninspiring second place finishes.
And we do have an input from a listener, so we put up a question on what we should cover today, and it was more of a question. And Cindy says Ole needs to get sacked, tired of him. So it's not even a question.
Fact, yeah.
Just
straight statement.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah, a lot of fans, you can see.
There's actually a lot of managers available that can improve Man United right away. So.
Zidane can do what Zidane's not a hugely tactical manager.
He's a really good man manager, and he's done that with, you know, saw with Real Madrid. He had a great squad.
Zidane will be,
he can do what Oli has done well. You know, what Oli's done well in the fact that he's managed to make things simple for the Man United players, and they've improved slightly, and the players are playing better under him. But obviously, Ole, he falls down in many areas. So Zidane will be able to do what Ole does, but on a better level as well.
Because I can't see Conte at United, personally. I can't see it.
Ronaldo playing right wing back.
Yeah, I can't see that.
But yeah, when Ronaldo tapped in that one in Villarreal in the last minute,
no, it wasn't.
This girl's out here tweeting, "That's why he's my goat." It made me sick, bro. That was physically sick. It was a tap in, bro.
It wasn't.
And the goalkeeper didn't. No, yeah, whatever. He's gonna do that all the time, and people are gonna tweet.
It's from the corner. Messi, and get through 75 bodies, bro.
No, exactly. It was tapping inside 6 yard box.
Anyway, can we
just quickly on Ronaldo? Yeah, Carragher talked about it before. Ronaldo, everything Ronaldo can do and what he's strong at, heading, finishing, physically, being physically fit, and, you know, obviously making good movements in the box, all those things, other players can do that. Like someone like Lewandowski can do all of that. Haaland can do all of that. Yeah. But obviously Ronaldo does it at an incredible rate and for a longer period of time. What Messi did against Man City, how many players can do that? Having not touched the ball for like 40 minutes.
How did we get
to
Messi?
I'm just saying, when I see Ronaldo and I see the praise he gets, like my friend, I messaged him, I was like, if Ronaldo tried what Messi did, Ronaldo would have broken his leg. And then my mate texted me back. He goes, oh, I just saw the goal. And yeah, it was bad defending and blah, blah, blah. And it was a good finish. And then, but Ronaldo taps in and everyone's making talking about GOAT and everything like that. I'm right. sick of this anyway, guy and I want him to fail.
You know what? That was a strong ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Strong ending.
On Oli, right, you have to ask yourself, would he be good enough for even Arsenal or Tottenham? As bad as we are, would he be good enough?
Tanya, I'm going to be Oli real. I'm going to be please. Real, right?
No, don't even say that.
No. I'm going to be real. I mean, if United sacked Ole tomorrow...
I think he gets a job
any,
in the
I don't think saying. Any club in the Prem says, no, actually,
when you look at all
let's
of the
go for Ole.
No, Championship.
No, it's even the Bundesliga will take him.
Yeah. Neil Bundesliga. Yeah. He's got to go back to Molde.
So with that logic, why
Molde's
on earth?
Gone now. Man United bought them and turned him into Westfield.
Why on earth is he Man United manager? It's just nuts.
Oh, my God. No, you raise a good point, but the point still stands that the Man United board back him.
Yeah. I think I said this. I don't know when I said this. I don't even know if I said this, but I think United feel
strong points there.
But I think United feel a bit of pressure. I don't feel like they want to become a club like Chelsea and so on and so forth. I think they want a manager who can give them a bit of a stretch, they don't want to be seen as that club who just sacks managers.
Yeah, but it's for the greater good though. They've got a quality squad right
they've
now.
They've got an unbelievable squad.
Well, I don't think United fans are going to tolerate that. I won't be surprised if we see protests again.
Yeah, because even last season as well, when they finished second, a lot of Man United fans were supporting Ole.
It was an underwhelming second.
Yeah, but still, like they got to the Europa League final. Up until the Europa League final, Man United fans were supportive of him.
That's true.
Now I feel like the tide has turned 6-7 games into the season. They're out of the Europa League.
Yeah,
they're
out of the Carabao.
They should have lost against Villarreal. No, Europa League. Out of the Carabao. they should have lost to Villarreal. They lost to Young Boys. True. And in the Premier League, they haven't looked impressive at all. So I think the tide has turned now.
I think the tide has turned because of how much... Before, it was like, we're not buying the players that we need. I think now, you sign Varane, world-class defender. You sign Sancho, world-class... promise of a player.
He's thinking.
And you sign Ronaldo, who is probably one of the greatest of all time, you know.
Second.
I said one of.
Okay. Just making it clear, though.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe they might look at it and actually think, you know what? I think we've spent a lot of money. I don't think they can keep him. Surely they can't.
No, that's what I mean. Like, before, he had the excuse of
yeah,
not...
There is no
although,
excuse,
80 million
though.
For Maguire, and then there were
50 million for Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, we're talking proper fees here. Yeah.
I have seen reports that they may be potentially... considering it.
They've spent over 1 billion.
I think it's criminal that he's playing McFred and he put Pogba left wing.
But all
Pogba was on the bench.
He put Ronaldo on the bench as well.
if they get Southgate, Amanda honestly, well. If they get Southgate, I will I'll do backflips.
From one L to another.
Overdose right there.
Yeah, in it, just overdose. So,
honestly, if they get Southgate, that's just an utter embarrassment.
I'm here for
it. I don't think Southgate will accept it. Southgate himself wouldn't accept it.
We want to see it.
Yeah, I know you want to see it.
No, wait, why wouldn't he accept it?
No, because he's got his dream job right now. And he's done well in his job.
Yeah, but I think once you've done a job for a while, and then how many chances do you get to manage Man United?
True, but got World Cup coming up.
Yeah, fair.
In which I think it'd be crazy.
And if they sack Ole and sign Southgate, how quickly are they going to sack Southgate when he fails? Ollie is a legend.
Wait,
Southgate
can you imagine
is just a guy.
If Ollie, oh wait, no, he wouldn't go to England, would he? He wouldn't manage England.
All right. Just
pause. Yeah. Just take a breath.
Yeah.
Chill.
All right.
Why would you even suggest that?
The
put
next
fear
game,
into our hearts.
Listen. The next game, this is how we're going to cover it. Right?
I know the game.
Burnley versus Norwich. It happened.
Yes.
We'll move on.
Right. And the score was?
0-0.
0-0.
At least they didn't lose.
big
yeah, that's true. Norwich picking up a little point.
Oh yeah,
first point
of
season.
That's enough for you guys.
Chelsea going versus. Down. Sorry,
I don't think so. Not
we pray. We pray.
I told you, there's loads of teams campaigning to go down.
I hope. Well, they're in
one of them. One of them is showing signs of battle, which is Southampton, and they came up against Chelsea.
I'm very sorry, but I did want to. You keep drawing me out about Southampton, Abdi. You know that. You know they're 7 games in and they still haven't picked up 3 points.
It doesn't matter, bro.
It doesn't matter.
It's all about the drawing out process, isn't it? So
well,
we're just vibes.
Vibes, FC.
No, but what I'm saying is, I don't know why I'm saying that, but so one of them is showing fight. Southampton had a good performance against Chelsea and probably 3-1 flatters Chelsea a little bit, though they did have 2 goals disallowed. But Southampton played well and did what a lot of teams have failed to do this season, which is create chances against Chelsea.
That Livramento signing is a masterstroke.
So impressive he is.
And he played against his former club as well. Mm-hmm. And he played really, really well.
Wonderpen as well.
Wonderpen.
They just produce right backs.
They're just everywhere, these players.
He's done so well. What is he? 18. He's done so well that their first choice right back, who was their first choice right back, has been shifted to left back from an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
That is impressive from Livramento.
And
Ward Prowse got sent off.
Ah. So this went to VAR.
It was definitely a red.
Why is it definitely a red?
Because I'll use your own logic against you. A couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about Strauss foul on Harvey Elliott, you said there's no reason to come in from behind.
That's
came
fair.
In from behind.
That's
cool. I thought you were going to
ask you a question.
I just thought I was expecting you to like come back at me.
No, I just said why is that definite?
It's definite foul. But yeah.
No, definite red. You mean? Because a foul, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's definite red, yeah. I think I've got a bit of an agenda against Ward-Prowse.
Wait, why?
Because people just like him. They think he's really good. I think he's just overrated.
He just the got guy, all of his, all of his squad. Because Bellingham had to drop out.
Well, there you go, exactly. Because 17-year-old dropped out.
No, but
did Bellingham drop out? I must have missed that.
Why don't you like
Ward-Prowse? No. Ward-Prowse, yeah. All of his 9 last goals have been from set.
I don't even think he's not rated like that, though.
But these lot do.
What do you mean these lot?
I'm sorry, did we say he was the best midfielder? Well,
do you like Ward-Prowse?
Yeah, we like him. Yeah,
is that a crime?
Decent free kick taker, but that's about it.
I don't, yeah,
you did want him from Spurs. You did want him from Spurs.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. Yeah, because I've got you love
crap midfielders from Southampton, man. Hojbjerg.
Viking. He's not crap.
Viking. All right, Abdi, your boy scored.
It's a great goal, by the way.
Yeah, both of them. Even the one that was disallowed was a good finish.
Yeah. No, this wasn't a great finish. I think it's more about the move that was good.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, that was a good goal.
Yeah.
For the finish. Mm. And that other one was for the movement. But it was still
the finish was just, it was a tap-in. But, this week I won't display my Werner agenda. He's essentially was the winning goal. But I thought, just before that, people were upset that Barkley was coming on. I saw a tweet and someone said, whatever the question is, Barkley is not the answer. And then he put a beautiful ball in behind
ball
to
ridiculous.
Aspie. He's got that quality, isn't it? And I feel like, you know, when
he
Chelsea...
hasn't showed it.
I don't know why Chelsea don't play him a little bit more. Like
He doesn't... He
He went on loan to Aston Villa last season. For the most part of last season, he was good.
No, for the first part of last season. I don't
He got some injuries, yeah. He did get some injuries. But, I mean, that's the only thing. He's very injury prone.
Yeah.
But he's actually
decent. And he doesn't display... Like, he had a lot of potential and he hasn't reached it, basically.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, when Chelsea players, like, they're not playing that well. Like, Kovacic, he doesn't play well all the time. Kante, like, he's been injury prone sometimes as well. Jorginho, like, I don't know why they don't play him a little bit more. Especially when Mount has been injured recently.
Yeah, okay.
But I think the person who did come back in team is Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, I was about to say Loftus-Cheek has played really well.
He came on against Juventus midweek. That was weird, though, because Tuchel brought on 5 English players in midweek. And that's at least, you know, they're using some academy talent now.
That's probably the best I've seen Loftus-Cheek play in a long while.
Well, he needs that.
Yeah.
Because he's 27 now?
Oh. God, he's like, getting...
He's
what,
not.
Really?
He's not young anymore.
I don't think he's 27.
I thought he was like 25.
I could be literally 25. Making out. Abdi's fact checking me, so...
What happened to Opta Mark?
Opta Mark? Well, we're going to find out.
Fair enough. What did you think of the disallowed... The second disallowed goal, which was...
25.
Yeah.
25, cool.
What do you guys think of Azpilicueta's... involvement in the disallowment of Chelsea's goal where he fouled is it Kyle Walker?
Oh, that was it when it was a while before the goal.
Yeah, and it was kind of like Milner and Foden's
I think in that area of the pitch is a foul.
Yeah, I definitely think it's
But it goes back to how far do we pull it back now for VAR in terms of, because it was like the goal come like what, I don't know how many seconds after, but it wasn't immediate.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, the ball got switched and then there was a shot and then...
Do you think there should be like a cut-off time?
No, but I think it was still in the same phase of play that they like to see.
Yeah, that's true.
And I definitely think it's a foul.
Yeah, it's definite foul.
Even
it's
though
just
Tuchel
that,
was crying on the touchline.
Chelsea needed that though. They had a couple of poor performances and results prior to that Southampton game.
And one lucky third goal.
That was a good finish, though. That was a good strike.
I mean,
strike.
I'm nothing against Ben Chilwell, but I'm saying, like, they hit the woodwork twice and
oh, yeah,
Alex
yeah,
McCarthy
crazy,
saved
yeah.
it as well. Well,
Yeah, oh, what a save, by the way, the first one.
Where it didn't go in there?
No, the first one.
Oh, okay. Oh, what, from Werner? You talking about?
Huh?
The save from Werner, when Werner cut in and then he saved it with his...
That as well.
That as well.
Yeah.
But what are we saying about Lukaku? Because when he's good, he's very good. When he's not, when it's not his day, it's not...
It kind of disappears, doesn't it?
Kind of disappears. Yeah. There's not much impact.
Levi Jeans and Timberland boots.
Oh, God, yeah, the Timberlands are back.
JD background.
I just think people underestimate how good the Premier League is compared to Serie A. Like, every game is I think there was a quote by someone who played in the Premier League and played in other, like, leagues in Europe, and he was like, when you play in, like, La Liga, you have so much time. When you play in the Premier League, it's like every team wants your blood. Like, they just... They don't stop until the final minutes. And I think players will struggle. Like, it's not easy to get. So, like, when we do get players like Salah, who scores 30-plus goals every season, Kane, this is something to be, like, you need to marvel at it because it's difficult to do it in the Premier League.
Whilst I agree, he's done it here before.
No, I know. I'm not saying Lukaku isn't good. What I'm saying is that... it's easier for him to shine every single game in Serie A as opposed to, to do it in the Prem.
So, yeah, moving on.
All right.
What was the next game?
Leeds versus Watford. So that was Leeds' first win of the season. There's a lot of teams in that boat of not, struggling to pick up their first win of the season, but Leeds have done it.
Yeah, Leeds won, but... these guys are just addicted to sacking managers.
Honestly, do you know what?
Watford, yeah.
They've apparently had 17 managers in 10 years.
Yeah.
That
doesn't surprise me.
Although, yeah, if any of you lot can name the Watford manager just got sacked, I'll give you £100 right now.
Oi, I didn't even know that was their manager.
No one knows.
I didn't even know.
But what if I don't want £100, isn't it? What if I...
Nah.
Back out of cash. His
name is Zisco Nunez.
Zisco Nunez. You didn't give us a time limit.
Renendez.
Wow, Tanya, you got to give Abdi £100 for that.
You was saying like that.
Tanya. Now listen,
I saw him a couple weeks, I think it was last week, I watched Match of the Day for the first time in a long time, and I saw a picture of him. I'd never seen him before. Honestly, he looks like any waiter in any restaurant, like any Spanish restaurant, bro.
But he definitely looks like he serves tapas, bro. Where was he before?
I don't know. I didn't even know he was their manager until they got promoted.
But it's gonna be nice, Mr. Dilly Ding Dilly Dong.
Dilly Ding Dilly Dong Tinkerman.
Tinkerman back, yeah.
Back in the league. Obviously, his first game is.
Do you think Watford
Liverpool
would stay up?
Well, we're gonna see. I mean, personally, I've got more worries for Newcastle,
the 17
in particular, and obviously Norwich.
But with Watford sacking managers, I just don't understand it. Because what do they expect? What are their expectations?
They want to win the world.
That's exactly.
But it doesn't make sense. Like,
I just hit my elbow. But
you need to go to bed, I think.
No. But I mean, that's exactly... Tanya's 100% right, because they're 14th, yeah?
Yeah.
And they've got 7 points out of seven games. What are you... Do you expect to be top?
Yeah, this is what I'm from.
This doesn't make sense.
I don't think their owners know who Watford are. I think they...
You just got promoted as well. You don't have the best
of
squad.
I
think they must have been like, you know, Real Madrid are quite good. Let's be like them.
Bloody hell, man.
No, Ranieri got that 8-game contract.
They're just fine.
He would have sacked Klopp.
They're just
fine. 8-game contract.
He would have sacked Klopp, bro. This guy is crazy.
Yeah, like last December when they went through that rocky patch. Yeah, he would have sacked Klopp.
He would be like, oh, I don't think the results are a good sign of what's going on.
Like, we've won the Champions League and the Premier League. Yeah, I don't think you're
good
enough.
Because I'm not being funny. Ranieri, he could get the same set of results when he starts the job. Are they going to sack him too?
Yeah. They've sacked four managers in one season before. You know?
Yeah,
honestly, I think 7 points in seven games just coming back. It's not bad. Like.
Arsenal have 10 points. You're 3 points behind them. What?
I mean, I don't think we're any kind of bar.
I know, but still, like, they want to stay up. That's their target.
Yeah.
Arsenal's the barometer.
Good one.
You did it, not me.
I mean, I'm the one who asked it. But okay.
On how many managers they sack, because...
But that's not the first time they've had an ex-Leicester manager. They've had Pearson. They sacked him before the last game of the season.
Yeah, Pearson was doing really well.
Yeah, he was.
Pearson was on track to probably keep him up, but then they lost their last two games heavily, and then... They sacked him.
All right, let's move on. As fun as that was, let's talk about Wolves versus Newcastle and Huang at the double.
And pick him up.
And this guy, he's looking really decent. Mm-hmm. A nice snap up by Wolves. And him and Jimenez are striking a bit of a partnership. Two assists from Jimenez.
Yeah, and not just basic assists, like really real good assists, almost making the goal type of assists.
You know that meme of the guy holding hands with that woman and then looking back at the other one?
Yeah.
That's Jimenez and Huang and then Jota.
Jota, yeah. I think Jota's onto other things at the moment. He's partnering Mane and Salah.
Jeez. Yeah, but that was good. Two good goals, you know, really good assists.
And good finishes, and he looks decent. Like, if he can keep it up, I think Wolves will start to find results.
I knew the goals would come, though, with Wolves. Mm. I knew it.
They needed that result.
Yeah.
They really needed that result.
Although we did say that this is the second win on the bounce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who did they beat?
No, Southampton.
But a bit of momentum. Like, it's nice for them. And particularly Jimenez as well, who scored against Southampton and then got the double assist against Newcastle.
I wish Jimenez was younger, man. I would love him.
Yeah.
Is he the best Mexican player we've ever had in the Prem?
How about everyone just stop here right now and name us other than Chicharito, name us the other Mexicans who played in the Prem.
All right, welcome. Thank you for listening. Probably. All right, okay. There's
Carlos Vela.
Yeah, put some respect
Carlos
on Vela.
All right, say no more. ASM Hive, you're still and with it.
I talked to Junior about there's a game against Newcastle next month that I want to go to. And I was like, I will kidnap him and take him home.
It wouldn't surprise me if he turned up in an Arsenal top with Saint-Maximin. Just repping both.
Do you know what annoys me is that Steve Bruce, or Gritty Bruce, plays
him. It's coming.
No, he should be called Shitty Bruce because he's terrible.
Abdi's actually personally offended.
No,
I can't find the button, but wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. No, cheer because it's true.
What you'll see, man. It's too early.
Listen, you don't even know what I was going to ask or say. What I was going to say is, I don't get why Gritty Bruce plays ASM or however you say it in the middle. I think
he's useless
because he's the only goal threat Newcastle have when Callum Wilson's injured.
You lose a lot by playing him in the middle. I know he does a lot. He's very. Like, he's a good ball carrier and blah, blah, blah. But on the wing, he just causes mayhem.
But still, I like a player who... Obviously, I do prefer him on the wing, but I do like a player who centrally can beat players for fun. So there's few players who can do that. And then he can create a goal-scoring, like a shot-creating situation from anywhere in the pitch. There's other players, like, even for Wolves as well. Neto can do that. Pedence can do that. I like those kind of players who can beat players centrally.
And you got to remember as well... Good point, by the way, but you got to remember as well that Newcastle... are playing with wing-backs this season, so they're not even playing with wingers.
Fair.
You guys just look weak. Like, all of their centre-backs are crap.
Because also...
Every single one. How do you have, like, 17 centre-backs and all of them? Not even one good one.
I do think this is a large problem that stems from the fact that Callum Wilson can't keep fit.
Yeah.
Because earlier in the season, they were playing Callum Wilson and two behind him, and Saint-Maximin was one of the two behind him. Which I guess would have been Joe Willock and Saint-Maximin or Almiron or whatever.
I don't get Joe Linton.
Oh my god!
Annoying. I don't get Joe Linton. Period. Like,
I think they should just
cut their losses.
No, just play Dwight Gayle.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh good.
Honestly, I really think no. Minus this finishing, he's Championship level.
Who? Yeah, he is.
Dwight
he
Gayle.
Is. Dwight Gayle. Yeah,
but
he's one of those.
Is he better
guys
than Joe Linton?
Depends what you're asking the player to do.
I think Dwight Gayle does everything that Joe Linton can do. At a much better level.
I disagree.
What does Jonathan?
I think Jonathan, one of the things he's good at is receiving those long balls because Newcastle play a lot of long balls.
But his first touch is atrocious.
I know, but you can't play those types of long balls up to Dwight Gayle. He'll lose it within a second or just get beaten to the ball by the centre back.
So are you Joe Linton hype then?
yeah.
I'm
going to
turn up next week
with
a Liverpool show with Joe Linton on the back.
Oh, here we go.
And on that note,
I just bust that joke for 3 minutes ago.
I had to.
But Newcastle definitely in trouble.
Yeah. All right.
No. I said yeah, like I agree. Come on, man.
You should want them to be in trouble because then Saint-Maximin will be available. I know it for a fact. They'll have
to sell it. Yeah, but loads of teams are going to be in first.
But my agenda is more important.
Anyway.
Steve Bruce, come the end of the season, he'll keep him up.
To a windy, rainy night in Brighton.
I did not watch this game, but I saw snippets.
I did, and for a 0-0, it was a good game.
We got slapped up, but yeah.
No, I genuinely believe we got bullied.
Yeah, we got bullied. Yeah.
We got moved about.
We lost all. We're talking about Arsenal Brighton, by the way. But yeah, mm-hmm. we lost all the duels, all the second balls. They were honestly, Potter impresses me so much. Oh,
he's incredible, that guy.
And also they have some of their more important players missing. Welbeck's missing, Bissouma's missing, Lamptey's on his way back.
And I just think like...
Webster was missing.
The way they set up, the way Potter had them set up, we didn't understand it at all. Yeah. Every single Brighton player, when they needed to be, was in space.
What team played? Was it unchanged from the Spurs game?
Lokonga for Xhaka. Xhaka's injured.
Oh,
it, so.
Okay, right.
Lokonga got bullied as well. Partey probably had one of his worst games.
Yeah.
If I see Partey shoot from distance again, I'm going to lose it, bro. Like, he does the David Luiz thing. There was a free kick, yeah, where all of the centre-backs were up there, yeah? For it to be lofted in for about 40 yards. He shot and it hit Rose Ed. Like, what are you playing at? That's David Luiz tough, man.
Not my club captain getting dragged off, but anyway.
fair, yeah. Aubameyang, he did it at the post, but I mean, nah, the decision maker was poor. I don't really want to talk much about this game because it was 0-0. There was not much.
Mm. And also, I think a lot of people missed the point that Brighton are actually a good team.
They're not just a good, like, team is they can really play football as well.
No, they are a good team.
I know we should be winning, but
from an Arsenal perspective, to win how you did against Spurs,
I know, I agree.
It's very frustrating.
I said that last week. I said it last week. That means nothing now, really. Yeah, that's why I literally said that last week. Yeah.
What I will say is this: I do think it's a game you would have lost last season. Say that.
Well, we did beat them last season, but
did you?
1-0. But Brighton playing how they played on the weekend against us last season, we would have lost 100%.
Yeah. Brighton were really impressive.
They were. And Cucurella,
left wing back.
He looks more like Junior than Cavani. Honestly.
I thought you were going to say he looks more like Junior than Junior.
I thought you were going to say that as well. And it's really good to see. You did miss a joke. It's poor from you, actually. Usually better than that.
I'll be better next week.
It's good to see Lallana as well, so actually staying fit and playing good football, because I think he started at maybe all seven, but at least six out of seven games for Brighton this season in the league. And it's just good to see him string a run of games together.
And I think that was his best performance in a Brighton shirt that I've seen, at least.
Do we want to touch on the question that we got sent in earlier? Because Brighton was part of that.
I was going to save it for when we spoke about Brentford. Then we could talk about
I just want an attacking manager.
Same.
I don't even care if the results aren't coming, but like, I want to watch attacking football. Mm. Like, football is really boring. Yeah. And why am I being bored watching a sport that I like?
Do you mean attacking personnel, or do you mean
the personnel? Because I was all right.
ESR, Odegaard, Saka, Aubameyang.
I heard Odegaard was
The starting 11 before the game, I was like, this is the best we could possibly go. But like, I want a manager that, like, because we're too positional based, innit? So I like a manager who likes freedom. And
honestly, you know, I do feel like he's a bit too strict in terms of just not letting players. I get there's certain levels of management, and you know, each to their own. He does what he does, and but yeah, you said it yourself. I just feel like there's a bit of fear in Arsenal players in terms of I can't just express myself. I've got to kind of sit in and do a certain job for the manager here.
I know we haven't got onto the game just yet, but I can see, maybe in a year or two, I was going for like Patrick Vieira.
Because he wanted the job, didn't he? Did he not get interviewed and he got turned away?
No. I don't think he was really in the running.
No, like, I think at the time his knees team weren't doing too much.
And no, to be honest, honestly, my shortlist, Potter's in my shortlist.
Yeah, I want Potter absolutely as well. But I'm just.
But you were screaming absolutely not about Potter at heart like a year ago.
I was, but.
Use Abdi's line.
I've changed my mind.
Use Abdi's line.
When I presented with new information,
yes,
I've changed my mind.
But the reason why
you
I say that...
You credit me every time you say that now.
The reason why I say that is because when you watch Palace, even though in the first half they were 2-0 down against Leicester, it was attacking football. They play in between the lines. Their players look like they're just free. You know, under Roy Hodgson is very rigid. We spoke about this last week. Roy Hodgson is very rigid. You know what you're going to get. Four lines just sitting there, and then it's a counter attack, and you hope Zaha does something. But with Patrick Vieira, it's like there's room for mistake in terms of like, okay, we might not be as solid defensively.
Boy, there were plenty of Palace mistakes.
Right, forward, it's we're a threat because Leicester didn't look comfortable at all. They were 2-0 up, and they didn't look comfortable.
I still think there's managers that I wouldn't say available, but like attainable for Arsenal. That are better than Pat.
But that's why I said in a couple of years.
So I would say immediately, obviously, we say Conte. Right. He's out of a
job. You're talking about right
I'd
now.
Say,
I'm talking about.
I don't. Know, I hear you. I hear you. But I'm just thinking about the manager. Conte. Yeah, he's not in the job. So yeah, he's attainable.
No, but I don't. But I'm just.
Yeah, but dealing with Daniel Levy is different dealing with anyone else, isn't it?
But can you give him what he wants? I don't think Arsenal can.
What does he want?
He wants instant success.
Well, he's the one who's bringing instant success, and also they backed this crap manager. So what? Well, they're not going to back Conte.
I just think.
And also, we've seen what kind of players Conte wants. They're not going to cost much. Brought in Kolarov and Victor Moses. That's like 50p combined.
But I know that going off of when he was linked with the Spurs job, the key thing for him, what is the direction of the football club? And I'm looking at what is the direction of Arsenal? I don't.
Yeah, but then you just a minute ago you were saying instant success, and now is it about the direction of the club?
Yeah.
Is this kind of contradictory?
Yeah,
in terms
but
of
can you provide instant success? That's what I'm saying. I think
he's the manager to provide instant success.
To be honest, I think there's maybe 3 or 4 teams in the world who could provide a manager with instant success. The rest, there's a real job to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just saying. Yeah, I'll say Conte. I'll say Enrique. I like the way they play. Obviously Ten Hag is one, but he doesn't seem to be available. And then I like Roberto Mancini as well, and I like Graham Potter. So those would be on my shortlist.
Yeah, Mancini, isn't he in the job?
But still, like, if you give him a club job, he'll probably take it.
But that's why, again, I want to just reiterate that I did not say now. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, a couple years at Palace, refining his...
Well, Palace is the next game, so let's just move on to that.
No, I know. It was going to be seamless until that.
Okay, thank God.
Well, anyway, Kelechi Iheanacho, we talk about it all the time, how he should be starting for Leicester. He starts for Leicester. They score a goal. Yeah. Well, he scores.
He all scored,
fabulous.
Mark. Huh? Who else scored for Leicester, Mark?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
Should I just reel off the list now?
Yeah, do you know what?
Yeah, you didn't read out this thing.
Junior's writing down stuff he's got about
me.
He's
got receipts.
Yes, I do. Højbjerg, goal.
Dead player.
Kevin De Bruyne, goal. Mm. Bruno Fernandes, assist.
Mm.
Werner, goal. Mm. Llorente, goal.
Mm. Who did I say? Llorente who?
The Leeds defender.
When did I say anything about him?
Bro, you said... You literally...
Oh, so you're just making up stuff. Can't continue. Continue, go on. Oh, what, did I say something about Salah as well, innit? Oh, okay, cool.
Hendrick, goal.
I never said anything, man.
Yes, you did. You're going a bit away.
No. Do you remember when me and Mark,
he was just about to disagree with you, you punk.
me and Mark said that Hendrick moving to Newcastle would be a decent move. You went, this guy, man, Burnley, all he can do is shove people over. Man scored for Newcastle. So,
okay. So 2 years after he signed,
doesn't matter.
Him scoring a consolation goal.
Your agenda is there, and these are the receipts.
All right, let's talk about Crystal Palace.
So anyway, Jamie Vardy scored to make it.
Oh, what an incredible player, man!
Seven
Jamie
games,
Vardy.
6 goals, top league top scorer.
What, Jamie Vardy?
Trent, him and Mo Salah.
Incredible player, man.
And I like Iheanacho, the way he finishes, because he doesn't look
so
like he's
cool,
going to shoot.
Man, he's so cool.
He doesn't look like he's going to shoot because there's so much disguise on it, and he just shoots really early, and the goalkeepers can't, because it wasn't a powerful shot.
No.
The goalkeeper just couldn't set himself. And it was just, but I like the way Crystal Palace came back. They were 2-0 down, sort of against.
Anderson had a howler. That's the.
I'm so glad we didn't get him in the end.
Man, it was awful. Like, the first goal, he gives it away to Iheanacho, and the second goal was his fault as well.
He
dived in and he tried to toe poke it. And it wasn't very good. But anyway.
What is up with Leicester, man?
I don't know. Well, because we said it last week.
Because they lost midweek to Legia Warsaw as well.
And Brendan Rodgers has come out and says that he hasn't managed to get the balance right.
Maybe start playing Patson Daka. Maybe start playing Sumare. I don't get it.
He's overthinking it, maybe.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know why Sumare's not playing.
He's benched Maddison as well.
And Soyuncu is... How does
he's getting worse every week.
They are missing Fofana and Evans.
I like the fact that Palace have a lot of street ballers. If they play a front four of Elise, Eze, Zaha and Edward, that's like that's what you would see
really
in the
like
cages.
Edward. I really like Edward.
Edward, he hit the bar.
I didn't really score properly.
But I mean, Schlupp scored against his old team as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got
impact sub.
Yeah. How many times has Patrick Vieira done that this season?
Yeah.
He's got the most goals from subs this season. Edward came and scored twice against Tottenham, and then Elise came on and scored straight away, and then Schlupp scores straight away as well. So, but yeah, that was an entertaining game. You probably realise that you haven't heard from Mark for the last 2 minutes or so, because he's on his phone.
Do you know
just
what?
Just let the guy live.
Looking at Leicester now, I'm thinking to myself, 5th and 6th could Arsenal and Spurs?
Oh, that demands a big shift from Arsenal and Spurs to be consistent.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Because there are other teams right now currently
in
this stage.
Who are in fifth or sixth?
Well, I don't know.
Everton, I think. And West Ham.
I'm just looking. I'm not convinced.
You know what? Brentford might even be sixth.
I'm not convinced by Leicester at all.
No, I don't. Yeah, but I just think for Arsenal and Tottenham, I think at some point they're going to have to be consistent.
Oh, Brighton are sixth.
Oh, yeah,
Brighton. But my point is, are Leicester consistent right now?
No, they're not. In terms of what your question was, with Arsenal and Spurs, there are other teams that are more consistent currently.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, though. As it starts to get into the gritty part of the season, there's big pressure on Arsenal due to having the least amount of games.
Yeah.
And
I'm being really serious. But forget about the money spent and stuff. When it really gets down to like that. No, I hear what you're saying, but when it gets down to it, when teams are playing over Christmas like 3 or 4 games a week and you've got that extra bit of rest, if you don't start to move up the table then, I'd be really worried.
Mark, don't expect
that. You said gritty, so we should bring in Steve Bruce.
But also, don't expect much. Also, we didn't say it, but Aaron Ramsdale had a really good game against Bayern.
Apologies.
Yeah, may your apologies be as loud as your disrespect.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I hope
he did drop one.
I actually think
that was a foul.
Yeah, it was a foul, but he dropped it first.
Hold my hands up to that one. Okay, Spurs versus Villa.
Oh, I forgot about Spurs, you know. I'm smiling this week.
Yeah, so Højbjerg scored and Mora did not score. Target got an own goal.
Yeah, he did get an own goal.
Were Spurs... I don't know, what was it? Because you hit them straight after they scored, they equalised.
I liked from us this week.
Do you think, though, that had it stayed 1-1 a little bit longer, that you may not have found the winning goal? I don't know.
I mean, if buts and maybes, Junior.
No, it is. I was just posing a question.
I just like the fact that we responded quickly and our heads didn't drop, because I've seen that too many times this season. We go a goal down and then we go into our shells and we don't give anything else after that. And to be honest, I actually think it's a good win. I think Aston Villa have been really good. I mean, I've been singing their praises all season and
this was a conflicting game for you, isn't it? Because that's two of your teams.
Yeah, well. and we've not been good at all. You know, it's off the back of a very poor North London derby game. And we showed a lot of fight and desire this week.
A poor three games on the bounce.
Yeah, it wasn't just games. Us you got slapped by.
Yeah, so it was good to see. I'm just really frustrated with Nuno in the sense that he dropped Dele Alli, which I think he should have been dropped before. Mm-hmm. We played a lot better without him, in my opinion, with Skip and Højbjerg, because they both complement each other well. Why didn't Skip feature in the North London derby? It just gives us so much more assurance at the back. And then you've got Romero, who I know, look, it's early days. He's not actually played much, but that's a concern in itself. Why is our top signing not
Well, he started playing? Against Villa, right?
Yeah, he started.
He looked a little bit shaky.
Mm. Yeah, it takes time, though. I don't think you can expect...
Because he was even injured when we signed him.
Robertson and Fabinho and a couple of other players. It took like 3 or 4 months until they really got into
Fabinho,
the team.
I remember, definitely. Clock left him out of the team for a bit.
I agree.
It takes a while. So I think now you'll start to see Romero. He's got that game under his belt now where he can say, all right, I was first choice centre-back today. And it wasn't the bin league.
Honestly, I've seen enough to say that he needs to be starting
every
league? Game.
The bin league.
The conference league.
He's been calling it that every single week.
I know, the bin league. Mark is
our most consistent player.
No.
What's the name of the team he played midweek?
We're not talking about that.
Was it Chicken Select 11?
I don't know. Some team that's like fifth in the
Slovenian
league.
Oh, what a goal, though. They scored their consolation goal. Oh my God, days, that volley from outside the box.
Man, I'm out here watching Europa Conference League.
No, I
absolutely
just saw that goal.
Banging goal.
I literally just saw that goal. But Son.
Yeah, outstanding.
But I don't understand. In the first half, you tweeted.
I know.
It's
reactionary from me.
Yeah, no, well, always, isn't it?
Yeah, always.
Let's be honest.
Always.
But you tweeted some disrespect Son's way, maybe.
Yeah, because I was thinking, has he dropped off a little bit? Like, I'm seeing him get into good positions and he's, like, overthinking it, taking too many touches. I don't know, but...
I think that comes with poor form.
Yeah,
In terms of the team. When the team's not playing well, I think it's harder for individuals to stand out and play their natural game. Saw it with Liverpool last season. Seen it with Tottenham
and
Son this season.
And I think he's knackered as well, still. We rely on these players
of all the
so
people,
much.
Of all the people you're slinging slander to.
Listen, can you...
Not the guy who's doing the most.
Hang on, can you actually let me get there?
I didn't know about this tweet. I'm surprised.
I actually...
Why do you give slander to the one who wanted to leave with the fat tongue? What about him?
Right, can you let me speak? I was actually going to say, I quote tweeted Harry Kane's tweet, and it was something like, oh yeah, good win. And I said, it would be nice to have some effort, Harold, because I'm actually getting to the point now where I think he doesn't warrant game time. And it's frustrating because we're only playing him, I believe, because we don't have that backup striker.
So what, you're going to play Dane Scarlett?
Do you know what, at this point I would, because I'm just a firm believer. I don't like players that don't give effort, Junior.
Or
I don't care who you are.
Son up top, Bergwijn.
Yeah,
and,
play Son up top, put Gil
Lucas
on the left.
Or Gil.
Because Gil actually is best positions on the left. And then play Amora. I think that will work. But I actually think we play better sometimes.
Have we seen enough of Gil to say that he can step into that team and just replace Harry Kane?
I know,
Harry
he's very young. Yeah.
Tanya's been saying this for about
And he's fragile.
Months.
But I actually...
Who's fragile, Gil?
Yeah, because he's quite little, isn't he? He might need a little bit of time.
We're talking about not just an inexperienced player in the Prem, but just an inexperienced player in general. I think it's a bold... I agree he should probably play a bit more football. I think it's quite bold to say he should come into that 11, stay there and...
At the minute, I don't want to see Kane.
It does look exciting.
It definitely does look, not disputing that, but
I
it's
don't
a,
think you can drop Kane.
You can't.
Yeah, but then her reasoning is that she doesn't like the fact he's not giving effort.
I understand,
he's
but
not.
Like, Kane
is so bad.
We've seen Kane have slow starts to seasons.
No, he hasn't. He's gone seven games, I think, without goals, and he's gone a nine goal. I think he's had a nine game goal drought. So he's gone longer, but it's just, I know it's because he doesn't want to be here, he's not motivated. And I just think, really, what message is that sending? Like, just because he's Harry Kane, he can afford to put up stinkers every week. No, I don't like the culture here. What is the culture at this club?
It'd be interesting to see how he plays for England. Because if he puts in more of an effort for England and you can visibly see that with your eyes, then I completely understand in terms of, like, why is he given certain energies to defensive responsibilities with England and not at Spurs and et cetera. But...
And he had so many chances to score in
that game. Definitely did, but I don't know if Nuno's doing him any favours, because you don't really set up to get the best out and the most out of your attackers anyway.
I mean, our midfield is poor, isn't it?
If you play a midfield two of Højbjerg and Skip, there's zero creativity
there.
Zero,
literally.
So
Celso's not really that creative.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good game in midweek, but again, I'm not going to get gassed because he got two assists in a bloody midweek game against, what did we say? Southern fried chicken. I don't even know.
Southern
fried
chicken select 11.
Do you know what I mean? So look, as I said, it was a good win. I didn't expect to beat Aston Villa, I'll be honest. So I'm pleased. Højbjerg had a good game, and I actually thought Royal looked decent as well.
Okay.
Be interesting.
Let's move on to West Ham, because we still have West Ham, and then we're gonna have to miss your niche football facts, Abdi.
I just got it up for no reason. Man.
Well, we'll see how quickly we can get through this. West Ham versus Brentford, and Brentford keep up winning ways. As Mark said, they're seventh. Well, actually, Abdi said that. Brentford are seventh, and they battered West Ham in the first half, and then kind of it was West Ham's turn to batter them in the second half. But then they got the last minute winner, and Abdi's going to claim that he knew about Wiz or Wiz.
I was going to bust that joke as well.
Like, since he was 12, playing in whatever.
Go on, say it. Playing where? Oh, but you say barefoot in Africa.
No, I was not going to say that.
Okay. Cool. Just be careful in it.
I was never going to say
but
that.
But, like, listen, I'm the one who broke Wissé into football.
Here we go.
I literally spoke about him last week, and then a week later, he's scoring the winner.
So, what? It took for him to score a last minute equaliser against Liverpool for you to say his name?
Big man, you don't know about me and Wissé's relationship.
where was he before Brentford?
He used to play football.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Did I lie there?
No, but it's impressive from Brentford.
Yeah. Listen, nothing, after I watched them against us, I'm telling you, nothing is going to surprise me about Brentford this season. I'm being dead. They were so impressive against us that when this is one of the games that I couldn't catch this weekend. In fact, I don't even know if it was on TV.
It wasn't on TV.
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't. There
were 3 2 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday,
yeah,
which is so jarring.
It was on
it's
the
like,
same time as
come on, we
want to
watch
game.
As much. Yeah, that's the game I watch. And Spurs, again, not on TV.
I'm getting
checked.
Yeah, but to be fair, do you want to watch Tottenham?
Yeah, but come on, I thought Tottenham Villa was
I asked her for a link. I was like, really, what am I doing, bro?
But, yeah, like I was saying, nothing is surprising me with Brentford now. It's really admired a manager and their players as well. Just they're not afraid to give it a go.
Are they... better than what we thought Leeds were going to be last season.
Well, they look like they can defend better, at least.
Where, true, you know, yeah, that suit, you know Sheffield United, when they got promoted, where did they finish?
8th.
I think they're going to be...
No, 10th.
I think they're going to be a Sheffield United. They're going to finish around there.
So I can get relegated the next season?
No, not get relegated.
Are you going to hate them?
No, I love Brentford.
Oh, okay. It's still too early, but still, I'm impressed.
Too early, it's too early. It's definitely too early to judge really Brentford. Nice, yeah, but they are
their
definitely
manager's
very
top
impressive.
Draw, man. All right. And Ivan Toney. Oh, jeez. Honestly.
Our friend Tommy from Ifs and Buts, he sent in a question.
Ooh.
And he was basically asking, out of the good starts that a lot of teams have had, Brighton and Brentford among those, where do we see them finishing at the end of the season?
Well, I already said mine for Brentford.
Okay, Brighton.
Brighton...
I feel for Brighton, top half.
Yeah, top half.
I think Brighton can finish top four.
Oh, don't be so...
Above Liverpool.
Are you saying that with chest?
Above Liverpool, oh, this guy's...
The thing is, though, like, these kind of teams that they will tail off at some point.
I don't know.
They will.
Brighton, I always say it. Judge yeah. it in January, yeah. February.
It is
absolutely, but Brighton last season were top three teams for chances created, and this season they're actually scoring.
This season they're actually taking them. Yeah.
Cashing in on the XG.
So I think, and plus we all of us here rate Potter, so I definitely can see Brighton finishing in the top half.
Yeah, I can 100% yeah. see Brighton finishing, maybe not in that Conference League spot, but 8th, 9th, 10th, the way they're going now anyway. Listen, yeah. a lot of things could happen between now and the end of the season, and I think Brentford, although they will pick up points, I don't think they'll finish in the top half, but they will comfortably stay
yeah,
in the league.
I agree. I think what is missing for Brighton is a striker. And I think, like, Mopey is going to get them 10 goals. Mm. Welbeck's going to get them 5-7 goals. They miss someone who's going to get that 12-15 that will propel them a little bit higher in the league.
Could you imagine if they had a striker? Wow. They're forced to be reckoned with.
Someone like Iheanacho, I think, would really suit Brighton. And if he's not getting the game time at Leicester, then...
Yeah, or even, like, they should have gone for Edouard.
Yeah, that would have been perfect for them. Perfect.
You should have gone for Firmino.
Harry Kane?
Abdi, just rest, all right?
Abdi's
take a
got
breather.
To the point in the podcast. Do you know when children get tired and they start
getting
restless?
Not even taking a piss, but probably Origi, to be honest, would have worked.
Yeah, that's actually...
Oh, yeah, that would have been
See, that's
good.
A better shout from you, a bit of seriousness.
Thank you. Well done, Abdi.
Thank you. Yeah, well done. I'm back in your good books.
But I'm telling Very you this now, yeah, right? Yeah. Go, Ivan Toney, Arsenal need to snap him up.
I can't see that happening. Not because I don't want it to, but I just.
I
think
can just. I
same
sadly,
with Spurs if Kane leaves.
No,
you
I've
could both do with a bit
day.
Of physicality.
Oh, 100%.
And plus the goals that he brings as well.
I can physically
Toney,
see him at Arsenal.
Right,
I can't
like,
see it.
Oh, bro. But we're not going to get him. I can just see it. Like, anyway, let's do Man of the Week quick before Abdi reads off his niche football facts.
No, we'll do it next week.
Okay, fine. Abdi, we start with you this week.
Yeah, I mean. I was going to go for someone else, but because of the man sitting opposite me, I'm going to go for Mo Salah. Yeah, Mo Salah is my man of the week. Yeah, obviously, fantastic performance, a goal and assist, and the goal was probably one of the best we've ever seen in the Premier League. So, yeah, shout out to Mo Salah.
Fair. I'm going to go with Huang for Wolves, who got a brace. And is proving to be quite the signing for Wolves. And I think he's going to get them goals and points this season. Mark, sorry.
All right, this is difficult because I was just about to drop Huang in. So I'm just out here kind of...
These men are on Sky Sports real quick.
No, I'm just looking at the agenda. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to...
It's still mine, I know it.
I mean, this might sound mad because it was a draw. Didn't pick up 3 points, but... just for continuously proving people wrong, and it was another really good performance. I'm going to give it to Aaron Ramsdale this week.
Yes. Oh, for the longest time, I thought you were going to go for Demario Gray.
No, no, he said 0-0.
He said it was a draw. He didn't say 0-0.
I said it was a draw.
He said he finished goalless.
No, he didn't.
I didn't.
Hey, I'm actually surprised none of you.
Cucurella, relax, yeah.
I'm going to go for Phil Foden. Played brilliantly in the Man City game. Okay, do you okay, yeah, Phil Foden.
I thought she was going to go for Son, sorry.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, we have 1 minute. Do you want to read one fact?
Andre Arshavin has a degree in fashion design.
Oh, I already knew that one. All right, thank you for listening.
Do you know what? I was trying to press the other
This is a shambles. I don't know what's going on.
I think this is the most appropriate time to say it. End the shambles.
For a while, yeah, you can add that one this week.
We'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That.
Sorry,
later.
Just before, and I'm sorry for doing this, but do we want to announce what's going on?
I was going to ask, but after this, I don't think we
should. Do it, go on,
I'd be surprised if there's anyone still listening. No,
okay, we have a special guest on next week. So if you've listened till now, God bless your soul, but do definitely come back because we have a really, really special guest.
Did you say God bless your soul?
I just come back next week, man.
Yeah, yeah. Sports Social Podcast Network.